Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. It's a new year. That means resolutions. We're making them, and they're tough to keep. But here's one that's easy to keep, and you'll be glad that you did. Get LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, because one out of every five Americans have been affected by identity theft. And this new year, you could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit and bank statements. You won't even know it's happening. But LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number up for sale on the dark web. And if they detect that your information is being used on their network, they'll send you an alert, and you'll have access to a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist if you become a victim. It's LifeLock. You need it. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for Saturday, January 16th, 2021. What a great week of Adam Carolla Show. And now we're going to end it with some highlights from over 12 years of podcasting. Is that right, Gio?
Coming up on the 12th anniversary, the start of the 13th year. So roughly 12 years, almost.
Crazy. Well, my name is Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And that guy, that's Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
I keep track of the numbers.
He does. I actually, yeah, every once in a while I'll email you. What number are we on? Where are we? How many years?
Sometimes you'll be out of town and I'll be like, oh my God, he's probably on a stage and Carolla asked for it. And he has very limited time, so I'll rush to my computer and be like, oh crap, I haven't done the last five episodes. Let me pop up there. Okay, and I'll give you the number and be like, all right, that's a number.
Yeah, sometimes I'll just text you. Hey, what's my debit PIN number?
I know that one.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a great show ahead. Now, if you recall, earlier this week, we had Frank Stallone on. Frank, I would consider a Hall of Fame guest. He has been...
Since the beginning.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast since the podcast began. He's been on, sprinkled in throughout the years. But
every time... One of the earliest compliments I saw from another podcaster was Jesse Thorne from the Maximum Fun Empire. And he was talking about how much he loved Frank Stallone on the Adam Carolla Show, the early episodes, and how much he thought it was just crazy, bonkers interviews. He never heard anything like it, and I have to agree.
Yeah, you wouldn't really expect it, but he's always a good sport, as you heard when Kyle Dunnigan joined in as fake Sly Stallone. But we always love when he's on. He brings a great energy, and we're going to feature him a little bit in today's episode of Carolla Classics. Starting,
he'll be peppered in all weekend, but if you don't like Frank Stallone, it's not going to be so overbearing. It's just going to be just enough. It perfectly complements his appearance this week.
Love it. So we're going to start with a clip from 2012. What do we got?
Starting out, we have Adam Carolla Show 913. We played this a long time ago. This is from when Frank Stallone came on. It was an episode with Dave Damaschek, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. No Damaschek in this portion, just Frank, Allison, and Brian. And it's from September of 2012. Frank tells his legendary story of a run-in with a chicken or possibly a rooster while he was on a walk. Check it out.
Yeah, it's funny, though, to have your 66-year-old brother probably telling Roy Jones, you know, you're 38 now.
Roy Jones never got back to him. Sly was one to use him in Rocky Balboa, and Roy Jones never got back to him.
It had to be big-timed him.
He called him.
It had to be someone going, Sly Stone wants to do... No, man, I don't make music videos.
I want to take you higher, part
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I don't make music videos, man.
No,
he got confused.
And he turned it down.
He turned it down?
I swear to God, he never got back to Sly.
He spends a lot of time in Dade County raising fighting cocks.
Cocks.
Yeah.
Under plexiglass.
Fights chickens. He's a chicken fighter.
Yeah, he is a chicken fighter. How come he can get away with it? And here, if you yell at your dog, you get fucking sent to the SPCA or whatever the fuck you do.
I don't know. I think part of it is living in Florida.
And he fights dogs, too.
Does he fight dogs?
Of course he does. He has cock roosters and dogs.
I didn't know. Dog's illegal. Cocks?
Not in where he's from.
Cocks, I think you can get I think.
Nah, you can't fight roosters. You know, I got attacked.
Oh, yes, you can.
I got attacked by one on Sepulveda Boulevard.
By a cock?
A cock. Yes, I did.
Wait a minute.
I swear. Okay.
You guys find out if you can fight roosters legally.
Okay.
I think you can get an Indian casino I think you can get like a cultural
and have
pass.
Fighting roosters?
I think if you're a black guy and your dad fought roosters, you can fight roosters too.
Maybe there's a grandfather law.
Yeah. You were attacked by a rooster.
Let me tell you what happened, man. I swear to God, I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I'd like walk and jog. So I live on Ventura
Boulevard.
No, Santa Monica.
Oh, Santa Monica.
So I swear to God, I'm going down Santa Monica Boulevard. I got my headset on. It's about 3 years ago. And I turn right
at,
you know where the New Art Theater is?
Yeah.
So I make that corner. I think it's Sawtell. And I swear to God, it's like 5:30 in the morning. And I see these little chickens, like bantam roosters, but they're small.
Mm-hmm.
I go, fuck, man, they're like eating.
Like the one like your brother had to catch to be greasy,
yeah,
lightning
yeah,
fast.
Shit, thunder, and crap lightning. There's right. chicken here. So anyway,
yeah.
I see it. I go, wow, man, you know, we had a farm growing up. I'm just fucking awesome. But they're on the sidewalk,
mm-hmm.
and there's like this really bad used car, like this Armenian, this used car place.
Mm-hmm.
So I go like this, and I go, wow, hey, what's happening, man? And the fucking thing attacked me.
Attacked by the
bit
chicken.
The shit out of me, yeah.
Really?
Because they can jump, and he went like
right.
fuck, and pecked me and scratched me. I go, you motherfucker.
Birds are mean.
Yeah,
they don't like human beings or any other thing that runs
so
the earth.
So next day,
mm-hmm.
so I said, I'm going to shoot this motherfucker tomorrow. So I had my 38, and I put snake shot in it.
Sure.
And I said, I was going to come by.
Only,
and,
yeah, it's the right thing
like
to do.
He felt like he'd be able to identify that particular
I don't
motherfucker.
Give a fuck. If there was a rooster, he's getting shot.
Snake shot is basically a shotgun for your 38.
That's it.
Right.
And I was going to come by in the morning. I was going to throw like a piece of bread at him. Cap that motherfucker.
Right.
Because I went to the police station. I said, no, I just got attacked by a fucking rooster. And they go, well, what would you like us to do about it? I said, well, kill that fucker. You kidding? What happens if a little kid walked up to him and a rooster attacked? The fucking thing jumped. They can jump like 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And easy to put down and destroy.
And big spurs. Oh, I was laying. I swear to God.
Oh, wait. It had the razors?
Yeah. Well, they have big spurs. They put razors on them. So I talked to my friend across the street that has a body shop. I go, wait a second. Who the fuck? What are these roosters doing on Sawtell?
Right.
Near the New Art Theater? He goes,
we got to get you a job.
There's these fucking Armenian guys. They've never sold a car, but there's something going on there. I said, like fucking illegal? Maybe fighting roosters or fucking like killing people and shit? Mm-hmm. But I said, if I see that fucking rooster, I said, I'm shooting that bitch. So I came by the next morning. I had a Colt hammerless bodyguard, Smith & Wesson Model 60, and I was going to cap his ass. And I would have been quick, just like...
Yeah.
It's not loud.
Chicken never would
snake
have seen
shot.
It coming.
Yeah,
snake shot's not loud.
No, I was just going like this, and I would just pop. I could have taken two with one, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fucking assholes.
So the chicken's not there. I mean, the
roosters. No, they disappeared, man.
Uh-huh.
I never saw them again. I think they went on the lam.
It's not safe for us here.
Cocks on the lam.
Cocks on the lam.
In the United States, cockfighting now illegal in all 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. Let's see. Last state implemented the ban was Louisiana. What? The proof the ban was
legal in Puerto Rico and the Virgin
Islands. And on Sawtell.
This is not to Puerto Rico, I know.
I'm envisioning a scenario in which the cop goes in the back, the rest of the cops goes, Frank Stallone just told me to ask me to shoot a chicken.
Yeah.
Yo, and Sawtell.
That's right.
So that means Roy Jones was champ then, so maybe he was legal then.
I guess it was. I mean,
in
he
Pensacola,
didn't,
Florida?
He didn't make any bones about fighting cocks. Dogs part, I don't know about.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm
think
not
he spoke
that
about that.
I got to tell you,
are
that
you still
up.
Gunning for the rooster?
Well, I don't know. I think they're probably dead by now. But I got to tell you something. I'm not into dog fighting. Roosters, I don't really give a shit. I mean, it's not like I don't like fucking birds anyway.
Nobody
I hate
should like birds.
Parrots.
I would never fuck a bird.
No, yeah, just for they're for eating.
Like I was in my house, and all of a sudden, this screeching, screaming fucking for 20 minutes, and I looked outside the tree, and there was a whole tree of parrots.
You know, there's wild parrots
wild
flying
parrots,
around,
and they squawk. And I
they're crazy.
To,
you went for the snake shot again, huh?
No, I went for the Benelli.
What's the Benelli?
It's a semi-automatic shotgun, and I was gonna fucking I was gonna do some serious fucking damage. I had slugs.
We
got to
get you
bug.
A gig, Frank.
No.
We got to get you
and
a gig.
And I wanted to sit under that fucking tree and just like...
Yeah, people don't realize that if you... I've seen them in Malibu. I've seen them in the hills
they're
up here.
They're
like, I've seen them in L.A.
There's
they're
so
like
much
green
lore
parrots flying
about
around.
Them, too. Like, evidently, they all came from New York.
I have the had the party house in Sherman Oaks and would see just the schools
they're
of them flying by.
That,
yeah.
And then I saw... I went... Then I shit and I saw some macaws. I go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, put it this way. It's a bird.
You open the window, he's going to sit in a cage where he shits on newspaper all day. Or,
right.
Or he's got the opportunity. He's going.
That's right.
Would you? Would you like a cracker? Fuck you. I don't want to talk.
I agree.
Stupid bird. He wants to go fucking live out in the wild.
Listen.
He doesn't want to sit on a perch.
I hate birds.
And take a dump on like yesterday's newspaper.
They're meaner than shit.
They are meaner. I hate them.
I've said it a million times. If they were the size of even medium-sized dogs, we'd all be dead. They would just land on our heads and pull them off.
A dog with the personality of a goose.
That's right.
Well, you know, they're reptiles.
They're fucking horrible.
You know a raptor?
They're
reptiles. Look at their feet and things in their face.
Yeah. They should all be killed.
I agree with that. I think it's a dumb, retarded pet.
Thank you.
It's like, I mean, they don't want to talk.
Frank, you should do a PSA for the
parrots?
Humane Society. Frank Stallone, by the way. I'm Frank Stallone. Fuck fucking macaws.
Or hyacinths. Or yellow-naped. Or African grays.
The only thing I like, I'll tell you the only bird I like.
The cockatoo.
Dead one.
Yeah, a dead one. I like a pelican just because of the pure novelty of them. I love to watch them dive into the bay, and I love that huge, those jowls that hang down under there.
And they're harmless. They're cute.
And that was Frank Stallone being hunted in what should be a future Sylvester Stallone movie, The Ultimate Prey.
He became the ultimate prey.
Yeah. That should have happened. The inspiration was right there with his own brother. But anyways, love whenever Frank's on. And we got a little special clip coming up later in the episode. And that's what we call a tease. But first, let me tell you about Tommy John. Start 2021 off right. Trade off whatever cheap underwear was sliding down and riding up last year. Get some Tommy John instead. Once you've tried Tommy John, you're never going back. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. And I know a super fanatic. Giovanni.
Yeah, I tried to get Tommy John autographed. Turns out it's just a brand and they can't sign things for me. But they do make excellent lounge pants. I cannot do any recording without them. I love track pants for recording, but now I can't do it anymore. They're too slippery on the chair. The Tommy John lounge pants are the perfect thing to wear around the house. Don't even get me started on the undershirts. Even the V-necks are amazing. And I hate V-necks.
Yeah.
The best stuff you can buy.
This fabric moves with you.
Indeed.
And each of Tommy John's 13 million pairs of underwear sold are covered by a no wedgie guarantee, and it also has the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Check it out. It's Tommy John. Tell him, Gio.
Go to TommyJohn.com/classics and save 15% on your first order. Go right now. Save 15% right now at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's TommyJohn.com/classics to save 15% on your first order. See site for details.
Now we're going to go to a clip from 2010. This is a blast from the past. Just a little slice of life of what the show is like with Adam, Teresa, and Brian.
Adam Carolla Show 358, 26 episodes after the format switch we explained last week, where it became more like the radio show format and the current format we listen to today. Brad Garrett, Teresa Strasser, and Brian Bishop. It's just the first half of the show, a little bit of news before Brad joins them. We'll be playing part two tomorrow with the full Brad Garrett interview. So stay tuned to the Carolla Classics feed if you want to hear the rest of this. Until then, check out this hilarious opening.
Righty, right. A couple things. Something kind of interesting I never really thought of. And Brad Garrett coming in. Have things to talk. Got to talk to him about Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which is a show I did. Very scary for me. Brought back a lot of primal fears, considering I don't know anything. I'll talk to Brad about that. Many other things to talk to Brad about, news and all that coming up. Something that's interesting that I never really thought of. As you know, I like to expose myself to other cultures, get to know other cultures so I can find fault in them and then make fun of them. I was interested, when I had a girlfriend who was from England, at some point I asked her who her John Doe was, and she said, he's Joe Bloggs. And I thought, oh yeah, that makes sense. You don't have a John Doe, but you have missing people.
Yeah, unidentified.
You need a name for him.
Yeah.
So every other country has a very common name. I'd love to have a nice T-shirt with that printed on it, though, like the top 25 nations and their John Does. But something interesting, my nanny got back from Guatemala, and I said, how's it going over there in Guatemala? And it was like really out of one of my xenophobic rants, you know. She was like, well, the river jumped the bank, and the mosquitoes are really bad.
and the government's bad. And like it was like, all right, perfect, just what I was picturing. But she said the river went over the edge. Kept saying the river went, and then she kept saying he went over the edge. He's this river, and he runs by her town, and he's, you know, he runs into the, whatever. He kept saying he, and I said, he? And she said, yeah. And I said, what do you guys call a boat? And she said, well, call the little ones she, but the big ones are he. Like, you know, battleship should be a dude. That's got balls. Destroyer, that's got some balls. It's not a chick.
Right.
It's a fallopian tubing on a battleship.
No, what about the ocean?
Next question. He. And then I thought,
what's wrong with their culture.
I would love to find the cultures that refer to everything like boats and oceans and rivers and whatever.
It's male.
And cars is she's and ones that called it him.
Yeah, because I believe
it's like, fuck you, Betty.
Right.
It's a he.
In France, it's la mer, right? So that's feminine.
I would say that France would probably be the tip of the spear, quite possibly, of the she movement. But I would really, just for the ocean. Just the ocean alone, you know, because we're always just the mistress and the sea and all that kind of stuff. I'd like to know what everyone else calls it, because I'll bet you South America, Central America, and most of Africa likes to call it, likes to think the ocean as a cock.
How about Middle East?
Got to go with ocean as a cock on those folks. But I'd be curious. I mean, maybe I'll be surprised.
Maybe there's a correlation between how a country treats the women in general and how they're valued, and whether or not the sea is seen as male or female.
I can just, you know, Guatemala, I mean, all these other countries are sort of, it's not just a male, you know, it's funny because people do that thing where they go, well, it's a male dominant culture. It's not, it's a whoever's bigger dominant culture, whoever has more money dominant culture, that's what makes our culture right up there with some of the best, which is just because we could smash Canada in the face and take over their reserves of ore and their ice fishing, we don't. You know what I mean? Like what you could do versus what you do. It's sort of how do you treat your prisoners? How do you treat your pets? How do you treat your ladies? You don't smash them in the face. You could. And boy, when you see some of these, like I said, when I was watching 30 for 30 and I saw the two Escobars, oh my God, Pablo Escobar and then the other guy, Andres Escobar, who mistakenly kicked that goal in, you realize when you're in Colombia and you got money, there's no laws that pertain to you. It's like being the biggest dude in your high school.
Right.
Nobody tells you what to do.
If you're Ray, you can pretty much have your way with the hallways and the school and Adam's beanie.
Oh, he defecated my Rams cap.
Because he was bigger.
Yeah.
Not by much, but
that's enough. That's the way it worked. No, it was a lot back then. So would be interested to find out what cultures refer to the ocean and the rivers as she versus
he. I was just wondering if it's only languages that have male and female, which, you know, we don't in English. But we do, I guess we do call it she.
Yeah. What do you mean we don't in English?
Well, you know, in French and in Spanish, like I've been trying to learn words. I was learning apple. I think it's manzana, roja, red apple. It's female.
Oh, I see. But they'll
nouns
end something
female.
With an O or end it with an A.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I'll try to figure it out. Anyway.
Want an explanation from ehow.com?
Yeah.
One theory. Let me find it here. It's a long paragraph. Second major theory focuses on the basis of European languages, like Teresa was saying. A number of languages, such as German and French, have a complex system of gender involving grammatical terms in which objects are assigned specific masculine or feminine tones.
Yeah, no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, Old English also uses this system of naming, with many inanimate objects such as boats referred to in the feminine form.
That's why we do it.
Yeah, it comes from Old English.
Right, because our language
is... The other theory is that they're named after goddesses and things like that.
Now, ye should shut thy old pie hole. And let Val move on with the show.
Did he just crap on Le Point?
All right. Well, it was interesting.
That was so much merit.
I'm sorry.
I just thought it.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. Now, I just felt it was interesting. She kept saying that he with the river. Jumping. She didn't know what to call it.
But I like what you said about how we treat the weaker, or people weaker than us. Says a lot about us.
Yes.
Such as our enemy combatants.
But that does explain it, though. It's like why we say she and why they might say he, because different sort of evolved in different languages.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, T-Bone, how about do some news?
from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes. This is The News with Teresa Strasser.
Big story breaking out of L.A. today, but it requires me to do a same-name game.
All
but
right.
I need a special dispensation because there's one letter off, but it's so, so good.
All right.
Because these two people could not be more different.
Mm-hmm.
You got Bonnie Franklin,
mm-hmm.
and you got Lonnie Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Franklin is the plucky, redheaded star of 70s hit One Day at a Time.
Who are you talking to? Barb, we can't afford it. Barb, we can't afford it. Take it all back. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. That show should have just been called We Can't Afford It.
Everything was We Can't Afford It.
Mom, I want to go to space camp with everyone else in my class this year.
Can't afford it.
Mom, I want some new Corkies. All the other girls are wearing them.
Can't afford it.
You know what? They want to go White River rafting this summer. Can I go?
Can't afford it.
I want a new Schwinn.
Can't afford it.
I'm hungry.
Can't afford it.
I have
can't
to sneeze.
It.
I want to carry out cellular respiration. All right.
Sleep with your dad.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that's Bonnie Franklin. You're mm-hmm. clearly well aware of her.
Ugh, this big bummer.
Now,
big
one letter off.
Bummer.
One letter off.
Mm-hmm.
Although this guy's actually kind of a bummer, too. Lonnie Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Serial killer.
Mm.
Mostly hookers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, mm. this guy, they call him the Grim Sleeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they think he might have killed 10 people,
mm-hmm.
possibly 11. He's a retired police mechanic, and he was just arrested for serial killings after decades of frustrated investigations. Dating back 25 years, Lonnie Franklin Jr., 57, was
See,
charged...
See, this is why you don't go with the junior.
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to go with Adam Jr. for Sonny, except for what if he becomes a serial rapist?
Well, this thing, the father-son thing gets even crazier with this particular story. Because oddly enough, his son was indirectly responsible for his capture.
Mm.
Again, this guy, 25 years.
Black guy, huh?
Yes.
Let me say this. A lot of brothers going with the junior.
Yeah.
But ironically, not hanging around till they become a senior. Maybe there's a method to the madness. Like, hey, I'm going to give you my name, but then I'm splitting. But then it'll be like I'm around. You know, we got the same name. It could be that could be a big drop off here. The wife might not even notice.
Lonnie Franklin.
Yeah.
These slangs for which he's potentially responsible.
He's a junior, right?
Junior, 57. Mm-hmm. Occurred between 1985 and 2007. The killer singled out black women and one man. He was dubbed the Grim Sleeper because he apparently took a 14-year hiatus from his crimes. Now, this case was dogging police.
Went to backpack through Europe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it was really cool in Amsterdam. You could smoke pot. Go
oh,
to red light
man.
District.
Totally different vibe over there. You can walk down the street with a beer.
Oh, it's so cool.
Everyone's laid back.
Yeah, and they have these really cool like spas in Hungary.
Dude, I lit a joint right in front of a cop. He didn't even say anything.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They have really cool hostels.
Totally cool.
Like $29 a day.
Yeah.
No one knows why he took the time off. Perhaps he had a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Through Europe.
Mm.
So they were trying to find him. They had his DNA.
Mm.
And they still couldn't find him. They had the description from a survivor who was attacked and shot but lived. They still couldn't find him. Then they said, we're going to offer $500,000 reward. Nothing. Now, have you heard of familial DNA?
Mm-hmm. That's when your pops has it.
Right. So they've just been sort of regularly checking prisons to see if they had a match because they had the DNA.
What? The ACLU is not going to go for that. Wow.
Interesting.
Pops was in jail?
His kid.
Oh, his kid was in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So that's...
They did this familial... They just did a random search, you know, every now and again. Well, maybe we'll get a hit. So they check all the prisons. They get somebody whose DNA is so close that it suggests, hold on, this could be this Grim Sleeper killer.
I have seen this before. Yeah.
Familial DNA, right?
Yeah.
So I think Governor Brown, or now he's... Attorney General Brown, said that it was okay to use this familial DNA, and now they're saying this is possibly the first time that they've actually caught somebody in the state of California using familial DNA. They thought, well, now we've got a likely suspect because we know that the DNA we found at one of these crime scenes is a lot like this guy. But how do we find out? Well, they sent an undercover team to follow him. They retrieved a discarded slice of pizza and they analyzed the DNA.
What? Who the hell throws away pizza? Yeah. He should be locked up for that alone. You finish that whole goddamn thing. A discarded slice of pizza? Oh, I'm bored with this pizza.
What if it was thick crust?
I know. People leave the end, the crust. That's the best
no.
part. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, this guy left it, and they found that it matched the DNA of the suspect in the killings. He was arrested.
Must be funny for the people to see the cops pulling it out of the garbage. Like, Jesus, someone's got to give these dudes a raise. Wow. This is pathetic.
You know, like teachers have to buy their own pencils for their students and their own rulers.
Saw a cop eating right out of the trash can. I'm going to, you know what? Here's a check for that policeman's ball. You guys are really doing the Lord's work.
He was living on a tidy street in South Central for many decades.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the neighbors had to say?
Super loud, like the throw extravagant parties. Lavish, like a peacock.
Drew attention to himself.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
It's all about him.
Oddly enough, he seemed like a friendly guy. Everyone was shocked. Mm. According to Eric Robinson, 47, he was a very good man. His daughter just graduated from college, I believe. He's a good mechanic, worked out of his garage.
Mm.
I've been here since 1976. That's how long I've known him. I'm not pretty shocked. I'm all the way shocked.
He's all the way shocked. Well, listen, he's not kind of sort of shocked. He's mega super shocked. It's great that he can turn a wrench. I always like when people, once they find out someone's a serial killer, how they still stick with it. Well, he's still a hell of a guy. Yeah.
Or like he's good at something like wrenching. So it's
yeah.
He's a great golfer.
Yeah.
Why is he a killer?
Nobody does sheet metal gutter work like Tim.
They killed.
Sorry, beheaded those hookers.
He killed a lot of hookers.
But I'm just saying, if you need some flashing on your roof, he's your man. If that prison ever springs a leak, Tim's one of the best tin knockers out there. Anyway. You know, my heart goes out to the victims. Like, all right, he's good at something. I'll tell you something he's better at.
Killing hookers.
Killing whores.
Without getting caught. You know, it's not easy.
I wonder how much of this, and I'm going to use a little, reverse racism, whatever here. I wonder, since they're always, this is the domain of the white man. This is really, this guy's the Tiger Woods of serial killers.
Oh, yeah. Really,
he stepped into our country clubs and ruined the sport for us. You know, we had a couple things going. We have curling, ice fishing, and serial killing. And, you know, raping nations. But those are kind of our main four. And I just think when you're looking for a serial killer, you're just not looking for a guy who lives on a tidy street in South Central. Like, that's just not your dude.
No, I mean, remember when everyone was so shocked by those two guys, Malvo?
Yeah, the guys shooting from the trunk.
Right.
Yeah, sniper and serial killer. Yeah. I do believe that does slow you down in the process. Because, let's face it, when you hear about a crime, you sort of picture the dude. Whether you like it or not, you picture the dude. Sometimes he's black, sometimes he's Mexican, sometimes he's black, sometimes he's black, and other times he's Mexican. But you don't pick when you're thinking about the serial killer, you're picturing Whitey. You just picture a guy with a bushy mustache who drives a van and it works.
Because only Whitey could be that twisted. Like, I really just need to go around finding hookers I can kill and dump
their bodies. It's that bored. You know what I mean? Like, Mexican guys and black guys, they have problems. And it's my same theory, which is when they kill somebody, they kill them for a noble purpose, like to rob them or fuck them. Or possibly both.
Not just for shits and giggles.
We just do it for fun. It's like the whole S&M thing. You know, like, imagine telling a poor black dude who works at a mechanic for the motor pool at LAPD to go down to that place by the airport and you can pull a fat chick around in a cart and you get to be like a horse. And then she'll put you in a diaper and you can shit on yourself. Like, no way. I want to fuck something for my $200.
Yeah. And then, by the way, I don't see certain people like taking the time and trouble to stage a crime scene. That seems so white. Like, I'm going to tie a ribbon around, or I'm going to take a lipstick and write something on her.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
and
not
just bored.
They're not great spellers. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I agree with
no.
you. Well, I agree with Teresa.
No,
well, what are you
I
talking about?
I didn't read so fast. I didn't hear.
You said they couldn't spell.
Let's talk about Bonnie Franklin. This Ronnie Franklin is depressing.
That show was good. Not as depressing as we take it back. It has to go back. We
can't afford it.
Take the hooker's head back, Barb. We can't afford it. And the DNA swatch. Take it all back. Yeah. No, no. What I'm saying is the brothers and the Latins and whoever else, they commit crimes sort of out of necessity. We do it for sport. And like I said, I'd love to see the roster of one of those high-end S&M places. There ain't no brothers going in there getting the shit kicked out. It's always Fat Whitey.
By the way, only California and Colorado have formal policies that permit the use of software to look for DNA profiles of possible relatives of a suspect. Only two states.
Let me go off on this 6 to 8 minute rant. And I think you guys are turning the corner on this, which is information, which is what the government is interested in because it helps them prevent crime and solve crime. It's not going to rob us of our civil liberties unless we're doing something wrong. There's a camera on every street corner. It's in every bank. It's in every gas station now. There's literally, if you guys both walked home from here, I think you would probably pass the lens of a camera no less than 1,200 times. We just tallied it all up. Could be an in-dash camera on a cop car. Could be a bank ATM that you walked by. Isn't it gratifying when they're looking for a guy and they find the picture of him at the ATM walking up to it and then there's the timestamp under it? Isn't that great?
I mean, love this. I mean, let's just say you're a relative of one of these hookers, victims.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been waiting all this time.
Yes.
And now you finally have a name. You know, you can have a little closure.
Let's use much like, and I find this gratifying as well, instant replay in the NFL. When the NFL started, they didn't have the technology, so they didn't do it. Then they had 30 years of, oh my God, that was a bad call. Oh my God, his foot, well, he did get both feet in. Oh, Renfro got both feet in. Oh, but the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. You know, it's a lot of that. And it felt like shit. It was like, we have this technology. Let's just use it. And then someone would talk about using it, but then the owner's meeting would go, well, they're going to use it to stall or they're going to use it to show up the refs. No, no. We just want the right call. It's not going to be used for evil. The government wants your money. They don't want to lock you up. They want you out in earning. And they want to lock up the serial killers so that you can be free to earn more money for them.
Absolutely.
That's what they want.
And more often than not, this DNA evidence is exonerating people.
Absolutely. And just let me just say this as far as civil liberties. Every single person that's born gets a number assigned to them. If it was, by the way, if it was tattooed in the back of your neck, it would be an Angelina Jolie movie of an apocalyptic future. But it's right now. My twins were born. They got numbers assigned, separate numbers, so they could pay taxes for the rest of their lives.
Isn't that weird? The first thing that happens is you get a letter. Like, we got our letter, and it had the baby's name, and it was so bizarre. Like, huh, the baby's a week old, got mail, and then it's the Social Security card.
This is the number the government assigns you. They know who you are. Now, please permit them to use whatever technology they have to solve crime.
Absolutely. How would I feel if someone wanted to stick a Q-tip in my cheek and take a swab? Please do. I haven't committed a crime.
Well, and a step further, as you brought up before, if you're on the list of possible suspects and you knew you were home Saturday night watching SNL, then by all means, give me the swab because I want to prove to the courts that I was not the person. Why are we so paranoid? I know, you know, this is a sort of left-wing version of this. There's a right-wing NRA version of this that's paranoid as well. Drop it. They don't want you. They're not going to come get your guns. They're not going to confiscate your pocket knives, NRA. And left side, they're not going to take away your computers and lock you up and send you to Guantanamo Bay with no just cause. They're just looking for killers. That's it. And science is your friend. We are the guy who got both feet down in bounds. Please look up at the Jumbotron and let's move the chains. Thank you.
By the way, every now and again, a corrupt cop is going to frame you. Now he can't. The DNA is going to exonerate you.
Seriously, so. How tough would it be for, you know, all those movies we saw growing up in the 70s and 80s for that bad cop to frame the guy? How impossible would it be these days with a video camera on every corner and every ATM and every, you know, supermarket? They'd have some you'd have videotape of you going out and grabbing your mail at, you know, midnight and coming back in when he said you were at the warehouse stabbing the guy.
Right. And I think most taxpayers wouldn't mind, however much it costs, to check the DNA of everybody in prison regularly. Oh, do we have a hit for this cold case for which we have DNA? Great.
Well,
let's do that.
It constantly happens that they're looking for a guy who killed a bunch of people in Dade County, and he's in a jail in Denver. I think of the man hours wasted. They tried to do this about 5 years ago. They brought it up. Like, I wanted to take everyone on death row and get their DNA, and the ACLU said, no way. And by the way, I'm not sure why they get a vote. Shouldn't the warden just fucking come up with this shit? I mean, just let them fucking... They're on death row. Let's fucking pull something off their toast and let's get them in a bank. Let's get everyone's fingerprint into a bank. Let's get everyone's DNA into a bank. Let's get everyone's like blood type into a bank. And then the second there's a crime, it goes right into the bank and we'll do it like Interpol. Worldwide. Boom. It's all there.
Now, you could have saved a lot of hookers. Ronnie Franklin... He has priors. He's been in jail for stolen property, misdemeanor battery, battery assault. Now, let's just say they had gotten
his
DNA.
Hold on a second. This guy was a mechanic. Battery assault could have been him throwing a diehard like over his head, like angry. Right, a 4-year fucking warranty and this is it? Cruiser doesn't start third time out and just chucked it. Maybe it's that kind of battery assault.
You're right.
Maybe it was the kind of battery assault when you jump your battery, but you get the cables mixed up and a weird puff of smoke comes out.
Maybe he did that.
Could have been that.
Well, let's just focus on the assault and felony possession of stolen property. So let's just say we said, okay, if you are a convicted felon, let's just keep track of you.
All right.
Let's take a DNA sample.
Well, he's easy to find. He works for the LAPD, right?
Yeah. Garage attendant. That's embarrassing, isn't it? But it took you 25 years to catch a guy and he's been fixing your cars.
I would start by profession and start with anybody who works around cars in any capacity. That's the first DNA swatches
I want.
Sorry, your dad. You know what?
And it was battery. It was alternators, generators, starters, batteries, electrical systems.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Spit into this Dixie Riddle Cup pop.
Really? You touch one solenoid and you're painted?
Mostly the parking guys, but come on. I got to get the transmission guys. How about the welding guys? The guys who work at muffler shops, those bikers. All the bikers all work at welding shops. Think about the guys, the valets stealing all the change and joints from Brian's car. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I know. The other guys on Auto Row, they were unsavory.
Oh, my God. Unsavory. And then all the guys who work down at, like, the junkyards, like, Pick Apart and all that kind of stuff. How about the guys who do the tow trucks, auto repossession?
Oh.
Anything that has to do with automobiles. Just paint and body guys, upholstery guys. These guys are all fucking criminals.
It was good times delivering batteries for my dad when I was 16. Yeah. Did that one summer, never again.
Yeah. Delivering batteries.
Yeah, at 16, you're just getting out of the pickup truck in your shorts and tank top with your and then you have to explain like I'm Nelson Strasser's daughter.
Fresh blood. Yeah. Yeah.
Surprising what you can get for a little bit of meth these days from your delivery girl.
I'm gonna give me some Jew loving.
Yeah. Places the lotion in the basket.
It's a good thing they were mostly afraid of my horns and tail.
Yeah.
They laid off. On to Lindsay Lohan. Speaking of fathers.
Yeah. He seems like a delight.
Well, he was very upset about his daughter's case.
Yeah.
So he went out partying.
Yeah.
Yeah, went to the Sunset Strip. Saddleback Ranch.
Oh, boy. If you want to get a horrible $28 steak, that's your place.
He did an interview with Larry King, and then after
that... You can ride a bull there.
You can
ride a mechanical bull at the Saddle Ranch, which is mostly just tourists waiting in line. It's an odd place
It's weird. It's a weird place to go get a steak. I mean, it's just a tourist attraction.
Right.
But don't go. I got dragged there one time, and it's weird because there's people screaming and jumping on bulls. And by the way, you can't go there because everyone wants you to ride the mechanical bull. And hey, you know, right. By the way, after all you can eat rib night, which is why he went. By the way, jumping on the mechanical bull and all you can eat ribs is a deadly combination, yeah. Right there. Someone's going to shit that place up.
Well, it's odd. I mean, I remember. I actually kind of think this is adorable about Bonaducci, but he told me that whenever he'd see those star tours. Mm-hmm. He would drive up alongside the double-decker bus, and he would yell, "Hey, has anybody seen any celebrities? That's cute." Then they would go nuts.
That's not the Danny I know.
I thought that's cute because now they have a story to bring home. But there's definitely certain places. And then he would say, or maybe I just noticed this. I can't remember now if he told me or if I observed it. But if there's a long way out of a restaurant where you'd have the most exposure to strangers, he would take that way. So Saddleback Ranch is sort of...
Let's hope the restaurant catches on fire.
You promise this is cute, by the way.
It's cute. No, it's cute.
When we were at the Playboy Mansion, he walked the red carpet 2 times. I mean, he wore it out? He treats it like a NASCAR event. Yeah, he did 2 laps.
I think it's kind of sweet.
Oh, I like Danny,
too. He likes attention. It's kind of sweet, and he's giving people... I've seen it. They enjoy it. He's giving strange people a joyful experience.
Look, here's my whole thing. If you like attention and you admit you like attention, and this is my thing in life, if you're Lance Bass and you want to make a living chugging cock, just admit it. Whatever. I don't know if he's paid.
I think he just did Dancing with the Stars.
Come on. What's the difference?
That doesn't mean
honestly. The point is, listen, I was there. I can tell you what goes on. The point is this. I'm obsessed with the guy as long as he's lying. As long as he says, here's what I do, then no problemo.
Right.
And it's the same with Danny. Danny just admits he's a whore.
Right.
Fine. No problemo. What I can't stand is when I'm watching the tabloid shows and they have the Bachelor, Jake's ex-girlfriend, and she's up there and she's going, Jake, he's a media whore. He's an attention whore. All Jake ever wanted, and then they show her walking in the garden and has her name with a .com, like a www, and I thought, wait a minute, whore. Why is his ex-girlfriend, are you talking to the cameras from Access Hollywood about what a whore your ex-boyfriend was?
While your website flashes.
While your website's underneath you. Who's the media whore? At least he was on TV.
Right, he was up front. I would like to be on TV. I'm going to be paid to be on TV.
Oh, could you fucking... Now can you imagine? That thing where they interview your ex-girlfriends, that's got to be a fucking disaster.
Would that be nerve-wracking if they went after that Brit?
Oh.
Joe Bloggs?
Yeah, Joe Bloggs. I think she's back in England. You know what? She's English, so she sounds clever.
Right.
It might be okay, but it's not going to be that like popping gum. And this chick looks like the chick from Fargo who was at the bar being interviewed, and she was like... Well, funny, he was uncircumcised, so he had a funny penis.
He's just generally funny looking.
Yeah, yeah, great scene.
Now, I'm just saying, sure, maybe they do have good ribs at the Saddle Ranch, but if Michael Lohan is trying to lay low because his daughter's just been sent to jail, maybe the Saddle Ranch isn't where you'd go because it's generally filled with tourists and all they want to do is see anybody famous.
What I don't get about that dude is... I know somebody... All right. I guess there's money to be made off of being famous no matter what you're famous for, but what is the upshot? Does he think he's getting a book deal? What is he going to do? Sell cologne? Like Michael Lohan. Turn your daughter into a whore. Finally a fragrance. You know, for the world's shittiest dad. Like, what does he do?
It smells like Joe Simpson?
Comes in one of those scram bottles.
That's awesome packaging.
Yeah.
I love that. That's creative.
Slap it on after you shave.
You wear it on your ankle. The kids
love
it.
Yeah, a little strap on the ankle around the pool. It's awesome.
Cute.
I'm just saying.
I can't figure out what the fuck he's doing. I don't know his end game.
Is this supposed to be embarrassing? What happened to shame? I know we tried really hard to eliminate shame from our society. Let's bring some back. Can we get some shame back
here? I feel like
here?
I have enough for all the Lohans. Do they need some of mine?
We need to put you in a shame orange press. You know
get
what I mean?
Get some out. Yeah.
Fresh press shame.
She's to teach shame classes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, shame seminars.
She has extra pulp in her shame.
Just even if it's not remotely your fault, you probably did something to bring it on yourself, and you should think a lot about it
right.
And marinate in it. Mm-hmm. And slowly let your sense of self degrade.
Right.
Until you can barely look people in the eye.
Yeah.
That is what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. So pathetic.
Well, she is, according to TMZ, she's been cleared to take a certain amount of drugs. Mm. And when I say a certain amount, fucking shitload.
In the joint.
Yeah. Yeah. She, you know, when she drug tested, they're saying her drug test wasn't clean, but she was cleared to take Zoloft, an antidepressant, Trazodone, an antidepressant, Adderall, a stimulant, which people take for ADHD, Nexium for acid reflux, and that's no fun, and the powerful painkiller Dilaudid.
Wow.
Allowed to take all of those.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All that, all this, and no bootleg porn tape. You know what I mean? I really feel like I'm getting all of the shit and none of the perks from the hopped up hot star.
Well, you will get the Linda Lovelace biopic, and the director is standing by Lohan saying, "We are proud to have this remarkable artist work on our film," and adding that the film is 100% behind Lindsay.
You know what? I bet she's going to find Jesus Christ in the joint and drop out.
Oh, God.
That's where he hides, you know.
He hides in jail?
Yes. Have you not heard the guys talk? He hides there.
It's true.
Comes out at night.
You know what? You should.
Lean and hungry.
I'm just saying, if you do, if you do commit a crime and go to jail, don't find Jesus, find Moses, and I'll tell you why. Mm. Because if you convert to Judaism, I think the state is required to give you kosher food, right? And maybe you can't work after sundown on Fridays, and maybe you get to talk to a rabbi. There's perks. There'll only be like four of you in the whole place, usually, maybe six.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, except for getting the shit kicked out of you by the blacks every other day. probably one of the.
Didn't you try to explain about the civil rights movement and how you're people?
Yeah. Don't go over all the skinhead group either.
Oh, that. Okay, maybe not. All right, scratch that. Okay, quickly, because I think Brad Garrett is here. You know that your ex-dance partner, Julianne Hough, seems to be cheating on you with another radio and television personality?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
He's developing another show. It's a dance show. And he will be working alongside Lady Gaga's choreographers. Details not known, but I just wanted to bring it up because I didn't know what you thought of Julianne and Ryan Seacrest.
I could beat off to it.
Well, just in case you think, well, I missed out. Here's what I missed out on because I'm not dating Julianne Hough.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is the type of conversation that you are missing out on.
Yeah.
That Ryan Seacrest.
Well, first off, Ryan Seacrest is 41.
I don't think he's in his 40s.
Is
he's,
he not?
He's just been around.
I knew him a million years ago. I mean, I've hung out with him a million years ago, but when he's just like a local DJ, to find out how old he is.
I think he's still in his 30s, but he might be the way I'm in my 20s.
Oh, he's 35. Jesus Christ, he was young. I knew him when I was like 30, 31, I knew
started
him.
Started
so
really
he was
young.
Really young. Anyway, I don't know. What is she, 22, 23?
She is something in like her that. Early 20s.
Anyway,
here is a
conversation.
Yeah, here's Julianne Hough. And again, this is what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen. Soundcheck
time. 4th of July, it's kind of a special one for me because, you know, I obviously grew up in the States, but I also lived overseas in London for quite some time. And, you know, it just makes you realize how fortunate and how blessed we are to live in the United States. And I couldn't be more proud to be an American, and the fact that I have all of my family here and we get to celebrate, you know, this holiday together, it's great. So having them all come out here tonight and celebrate and do the show and just have a fun barbecue. We're in Nashville, so it's going to be fun. This is little Derek right here. Derek can't be here, so he's taking his spot.
Mini Derek.
Derek's, you know, off doing his own thing. I think he's in London or Europe or something, choreographing, doing videos,
you
stuff
get the
like
idea.
That. He's a big boy.
I'm not really sure what she just said.
Well, what they can't do...
What is that?
Well, okay. What they do is... You have to sort of play catch, you know, when you're having a conversation, because she's no orator. She's not going to go on for long periods of time. So what happens is they go like, "Hey, Julianne," and she's not being interviewed. There's just a guy like holding the camera. So it's like, "What do you think of the 4th of July?" Oh, man, it's really awesome. I'm a country girl. I'm from Nashville. They have to throw a laugh in, which means gotta think. And, and it means a lot to me because I spent time in Paris, France, and then now I'm not there anymore. And so the 4th of July is, you know, great for me because, you know, because how fast is this golf cart going? You can't. It's like trapping someone. It's like a first date where the other person doesn't talk for the first 10 minutes and you're just sitting there.
Very, very awkward.
You're fucked.
Yeah. And plus, that other person often can't even laugh because it's going to ruin the audio.
Here's how our conversations used to go when she was my dance partner. You just have no idea what I'm saying, okay?
Okay.
You be Julianne Hough, I'll be me. Wow, man. He had you spinning on that dance floor like a whirling dervish.
A what?
Whirling dervish.
It's a dervish.
Brian, you be the cameraman and the segment producer, okay? This whirling dervish, I don't know, those dancers, those, I don't know, Middle Eastern guys.
I don't know what that is.
You know, they wear the big hats. They're like priests. And
I don't know.
Around. You're a dancer, you know?
I know, but I'm a ballroom dancing dancer. For? But I don't know.
But you've danced your whole life.
I know.
But somebody said whirling dervish at some point, right?
Tangent.
No. All right, hold on. Just cut for a second. Camera guy.
Yeah.
You whirling dervish, right? You're 35.
Must be a generational thing.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I can't be the only guy who knows that term. I'm from fucking North Hollywood.
I think you are.
Listen, Julianne, believe me, every other dancer's heard of whirling dervish. Yeah. Okay, hold on.
I don't think
segment producer guy.
Yeah.
Whirling dervish, come on. You're 41. Tell her you know.
Sorry, no dice.
Okay. No one has heard of a whirling dervish? I'm not saying you were one. I mean, have you heard of one?
I heard of it 30 seconds ago when you first mentioned it. Does that count?
Okay. Listen, I'm not nuts. This is a common thing. It's common. It's a common thing.
If you're going to keep talking, I'm going to text my boyfriend.
All right.
You tell me.
It's common. Why don't you text David Spade back, by the way? It's common. Come on, you're dancing. That's all you do. When did you start dancing?
When I was 3.
And they never heard of whirling dervish?
It's
popular.
I don't think so.
They're like priests who spin around.
I never heard of that.
Okay.
Hey, Pops, can you wrap this up?
All right. Now, okay.
But no one's heard of your whirling dervish.
Seriously, cameraman guy. You've been around. You've not heard of whirling dervish?
Nobody's ever heard of the whirling dervish. I'm pretty sure you made it up.
That's basically my life. That's my life.
Hour after hour.
Oh, can I tell you, I had one of the greatest fucking moments of my life about 3 days ago. My wife was saying, I was listening to the podcast and you were complaining about that video game where the guy just has a sawed-off shotgun and it's you're looking down the barrel of it. Was I saying this? Was I talking about how...
Yeah, you were talking about Salt Lake City, maybe, and how there's no posters of aggressive...
Yeah, we're talking about this, right. And Lynette was like, you're right. That's right. Why are we looking down the barrel of a shotgun? You're driving your kids down the street, and you're essentially looking at a 40-foot-high billboard for a video game called Outlaw, where the guy's holding a sawed-off shotgun at your SUV, essentially. And I was just standing there while Lynette was telling this to Olga, and she said... Olga, you know those billboards all over town? And she said, no. And she went, oh, come on, Olga. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. It's an outlaw video game. It's like a cart, you know, it's a drawing of a guy with a sawed-off shotgun. It's like wearing a cowboy hat. No. There's one right at the entrance to the freeway that you get on. I haven't seen it. Olga, they're all over the place. Yeah, I've never seen it. And I was just watching this little retarded ping pong match going back and forth. And she kept going, Olga, they're every 10 feet. There's one at the bottom of the hill from our house. There's one at the signal close. No, I'm not seeing that. And I just went, Lynette. She went, what? And I went, how's it feel? How's it feel? Welcome to my world, honey. Welcome.
Do you feel like she understood you a little bit better at that
moment?
Yeah,
I said, now do that times everything.
And on that note, I will wrap this portion of the news.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll bring
that. News coming up. If you don't listen, you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
that clip from July of 2010. I love just when it's just the show. Sometimes there's no guests and they're just talking about what's going on.
When I go back and I go through this, it's such a weird like slice of life. And you know, part of like what Adam talks about, he wants a sizzle reel. Most of what the audience wants is like the time travel element, kind of like what they do with old Loveland and stuff, where you go back and like, what was happening on this day in this time? And you hear the news stories and everything's about Mel Gibson at the time or whatever the issue might be. It's very fun. And then you forget like how many things Adam's made fun of over the years.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, this is hilarious. I forgot all about this. And also some of these shows where they're like, oh, that's pretty funny when it aired. And it's like, oh, you know, this isn't as funny as most of the episodes. It's an okay episode. 10 years removed become gold.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's almost new.
It feels fresh. People, with how much content media is out there, even I forget about some of this stuff. And now that we're so far into the Adam Carolla Show archive, again, it's like Loveline, where it's so big, so many different events have happened and taken place that it's really hard to sum up with, you know, a couple of examples or clips.
And that's why we do the show. All right, we have another clip, and this one's a very special one because it is a basic cable commentary, and we have no one better than Superfan Giovanni to give us the history of basic cable commentary and what this clip is.
Yeah, basic cable commentary came from the radio show format. It was called Basic Cable Classics. They'd have somebody sit in. Damashek would always be there in 06, so they sometimes get Bill Simmons to come in. It was typically an Adam and Bill Simmons thing, but he can really do with anyone. You know, it's kind of more Adam. They'd come in, they'd go over essentially a movie play on TBS or a basic cable station, like some of these, like, you know, old Stallone movies, Karate Kid 3, anything that's kind of an action movie, whatever it might be. And then they go over some select clips of it and make fun of the most hilarious moments. And I was always pitching them, we should do commentaries. We should do commentaries. And at the radio show, they don't think that way. So it didn't really go anywhere. And then when the podcast started, I was pitching ideas still. I'm like, we got to do commentaries. And then Adam did them. He first did Roadhouse and a series of other commentaries. They're all hilarious. The fourth commentary they did was with Frank Stallone for the movie The Specialist. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life. The basic cable comedies were very successful, especially for third-party commentaries, perhaps the most successful ever sold that I know of. The only problem is that still doesn't mean most of the fans have ever heard them. And if you're a huge Carolla fan, there's far too many of them I meet who have never heard the basic cable commentaries. If you ever want to hang out with Adam and watch a movie, that's what this is. And they're just sitting there for your enjoyment. You can go buy these now. They're very, very inexpensive. Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Play, which is now YouTube Music. You can find them anywhere you want. You probably find them streaming. I highly recommend you find these. You find the movie, you sync it up, and you watch it. It's the funniest thing you'll see, especially in quarantine. It's like literally having Adam come over to your house and hang out with you and watch a movie. Like, I cannot describe how great it is, and I don't need to because we have a clip from Basic Cable Commentary 4 with Frank Stallone. This is them watching the opening of The Specialist. Check it out.
Luis Losa.
I have no idea who he is.
Sylvester Stallone, you know that name, do you?
Yeah, I know him.
Sharon Stone.
She got bitten by the iguana, right?
No, that was her husband.
Playing with a Komodo dragon, bright guy. Yeah.
She took her husband to the LA Zoo for his birthday to visit a Komodo dragon, and it bit him on the bit his toes off.
I know.
Worst birthday ever, right?
I don't know. These guys don't look like they've been in the field. The outfits are a little too couture. It doesn't look like a lerp, you know.
It is funny when you see movies where the guy plays a UPS guy, but he's got a great build, and you can see it's all tucked in and pulled in the back.
Yeah,
and
it looks like darts in the back. Yeah, sure, it's been targeted.
Yeah, it's almost Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, Woods is not filling out his outfit like your brother, Sly.
No.
All right, so they're special ops guys. It's 1984. They're in Central America, and they're going to take out a bridge.
But the thing is, they're not sweating.
Oh, your brother, though, he does get a nice sheen going at some point.
He got glisten going, yes.
Now, you only saw this. Do you remember where you were when you saw this, or where you were in your life? Here it is, 1994.
I don't remember seeing this because I was so fucking pissed off.
That Gloria Estevan.
Yeah, and her husband, Emilio, never got back to me because I wanted to write some music.
They did the music for this. Well, it kind of takes place in Miami.
Yeah, but the Miami shit machine.
All right. Now, what would your brother's internal acting monologue sound like right now if he was just thinking to
himself? I think at this point
he
was into golfing a lot. I think he kind of phoned this one in.
Really?
Yeah, I think this was the era where he was really getting his golf game up. And this was during my Stop or My Mom Will Shoot era, you know,
right.
Kind of.
Sly does not want to blow up a kid. So he's got to blow up the drug lord, but he didn't know the drug lord's innocent kid was going to be in there.
A little bit of Scarface in this, right? Remember?
Like little, when you went yeah. Rod Steiger? Could you say that like your brother?
Huh?
Activate the
fail. Activate the fucking sail face!
No, no.
Sail face.
Activate
the fail safe.
You fucking psycho.
Activate the fucking fail safe, you psycho!
No, no. Activate the failsafe, you fucking psycho.
Activate the sail face, you fucking psycho.
Hold on, it's not on a boat. Activate the failsafe, you fucking psycho.
Activate the fuck. Oh, shit. Activate the sail face, you fucking psycho.
Failsafe.
Is it failsafe or safe fail?
It's failsafe. Let's get the prompter loaded up, Gary. Activate the failsafe, you fucking psycho.
Activate the failsafe, you fucking psycho.
Yeah.
It's almost like
that's
Jack
good.
Nicholson.
That's good.
Activate the failsafe, you fucking psycho.
And that was Adam and Frank Stallone. And you.
Activate the failsafe.
Watching the opening of The Specialist. What a better crew to watch than that. Come on.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the idea that, like, you call yourself a Corolla fan, you haven't heard the commentaries, you're just missing out. If you think it's too technically advanced, you're wrong. They count it down, you start a movie. If you can hit play on an MP3, and you can hit play on your DVD remote or your streaming service, you can watch a basic cable commentary. Do yourself a flavor.
Love it. And can you tell us who else is in the basic cable commentaries? I know Dana Gould is in one, Damashek.
Oh, yeah, the very first one is Damashek and Adam for... I think I said Roadhard earlier, and I meant...
Roadhouse.
What did I meant to say? Roadhouse. That's what I meant to say, Roadhouse. I was confused too. Damn you, Adam, and your movie
film. I know.
They did Roadhouse, which is the Patrick Swayze classic from like 89 or 90. And I'd never seen the movie, so I went back and watched it, then watched the commentary. You don't need to do that. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. I can't believe how funny that is. And the second one they came in, they got Kevin Hench to come in, creator of Last Man Standing, writer of The Hammer, co-director, writer of a bunch of different projects with Adam, just, you know, Adam's buddy, Adam's favorite breakfast participant. They watched The Karate Kid 3, which to me is the gem of the franchise, with Terry Silver, the evil 26-year-old billionaire, who's somehow a Vietnam veteran in 1989. And in between toxic waste spill phone calls where he's encouraging that to make more money, he spends all of his time focusing on a local karate dojo that's been wronged by Mr. Miyagi and Danielson. And that's also where you get Karate's bad boy Mike Barnes with Sean Kaden, who's hilarious. If you watch Cobra Kai and you haven't listened to the basic level commentary 2 for Karate Kid 3, do yourself a flavor again. The third one had former producer Sandy Ganz on it. They did Fast and Furious, the fourth movie in the franchise. Then, of course, we have The Specialist with Frank Stallone. Then Dana Gould came in character as Huell Hauser for Showgirls, which I can't even describe to you what that is. The whole entire movie, he's Huell Hauser watching Showgirls for the first time with Adam, who plays the straight man role, and he just effortlessly slides into it. It's a completely different format for the commentaries, and it is genius. After Showgirls, they did Red Dawn with Damashek again. And then we have number 7, which was Cobra. And then Adam did another version of Cobra, which is number 8. And then he did a bunch of series of live shows, which Chris produced, that I've heard some of. And they were insanely hilarious. And if they ever do them again, I hope to be in person for one of them.
Yeah. So there you go. The history of basic cable commentary. Thank you, Gio. All right.
The best Corolla thing you haven't yet experienced.
I know. And you still can. Best, but no better time than now. All right. Let's get going to another clip. And this one, we're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game, Matt Damon themed.
This is Adam Carolla Show 1871. David Hasselhoff in this episode, not in this portion. Anthony Ferrante, Matt Atchie, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This is just the Rotten Tomatoes game, number 83. As Chris said, it's Matt Damon themed. Check it out.
It's time, I really hope it isn't Scorched bacon, rotten or fresh.
Okay, and so just real quick, so we're all caught up. Can we just remind everyone, do we know who won last?
Oh, my God.
Must have been you.
Oh, okay.
Holy Christ.
Hey, man, doesn't happen very often.
All right.
All right.
So,
yourself. You can go. You can see this abomination of a picture at AdamCarolla.com. Take it down. I'm becoming clinically depressed.
Yeah. All right. So this week, Jason Bourne hits theaters. It's the fourth Bourne movie from Matt Damon. So the theme this week is Matt Damon movies.
All right.
First up, we're going to go with a movie, a 2006 spy movie that starred Matt Damon, directed by Robert De Niro, a fictional film loosely based on real events about the formation of the CIA. The movie is The Good Shepherd.
Mm.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wait, does anyone remember this movie?
Did not see.
Now, certainly heard of it. Don't remember it. Can't remember if it was good or bad. I think it was one of those movies that everything seemed good, but no one really liked it that much. So for that reason, I give it 63.
Somebody down there says it's the best spy movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. De Niro.
Tom Shales, sir.
I only remember this became like an Oscar time, but then it got nothing or something along those lines, so I said 60%.
Mm. I've never heard of it, but between Angelina Jolie and De Niro and Matt Damon, it's got to be something. I said 58.
I will not tip my – well, I resisted the urge to tell you the runtime, which might have affected your scores, 188 minutes. The movie is rotten at 54%.
Ooh. All right. Brian's in there. We're all kind of thing. Gary, if you find that Shales thing, tell me.
We're looking for it. I got Geo on it too.
I'm not having a ton of luck.
But
I got
we'll
Geo find it. Here we go.
Who did you say directed it?
De Niro.
So isn't that usually the problem? If you're in the movie and you're directing, you're horrible. What's his name?
Tarantino.
No, you're not as good at editing down.
They go long. Oh. Yeah.
What's
well,
his
Tarantino
name?
Does
Duvall,
do that.
Robert Duvall. Yeah. That was a huge example.
Yeah, but on the flip side, The Town.
Yeah, but still.
No, there, you can get to a certain status in a certain thing.
Some people can handle it. You take no notes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, De Niro's first film that he directed, The Bronx Tale. Like, he's not in it very much. But when you get yourself too big a role, it becomes a problem.
Gotcha.
All right, next up, this is a 2009 film directed by Clint Eastwood. Morgan Freeman stars as Nelson Mandela, and Matt Damon plays star rugby player Francois Pienaar. The movie is Invictus.
Mm. Yep.
Another one I did not see.
Did not either. It felt like homework. That's the way I felt. I felt that way. Yes. Felt like watching a candidate vice president give their speech. Like, this is just going
to
be...
We have to do this?
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to watch this. Yeah, I know it'll be good for me, but I'm not going to get anything out of this, are we? But I should.
Yeah.
It also seemed
kind of weird they took a guy like Nelson Mandela, who had an incredible life, and kind of told that story through rugby.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the story. You got to toss on a couple of points here because of the theme, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one wants to talk crap about Nelson Mandela.
You have a hard time giving a negative review to Invictus.
Well, no, I mean, everyone loves Australian rules rugby.
Sure.
I'm gonna pad it by like 10. I'm gonna give it 10% because I figure the critics are pulling for Mandela in this, and so, but they didn't love it, so I'm gonna put it. 63.
Ooh.
I want some number. I just want the same number again.
I went really high. Probably too high. I said 90.
Oh, wow. 72 right here.
Invictus is certified fresh at 76%.
Mm, right in the middle of there. All right.
All right.
Next to a lead.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Next up, another film from 2010. This finds Matt Damon playing a character named LaBeouf, who goes on a mission with Rooster Cogburn and Matty Ross in the Coen Brothers remake of True Grit.
I forgot how much I enjoyed this movie. Lots of good, love the Coen Brothers, but lots of stuff to enjoy about this movie. I found I really enjoyed it.
I don't remember this, and this sounds like something I would really like.
Oh, you ever saw this?
No, I don't remember this poster.
Barry Pepper was great in this movie. Wasn't he?
You must
Barry
have
Pepper
a,
was great.
Do you black out James during Brolin. Your periods?
Is that weird? Should I talk to
Drew? I'm saying there's a lot of movies where you go, I've never even heard of this.
And I know it's the play.
They ran the bejesus out.
I'm pretty sure it was up for Best Picture.
I'm saying, yeah. Hold on, I got a theory, blackout period.
Okay.
Okay.
Not a blackout period.
A blackout.
Menstruating blackout.
Well, because you're on top of it. You do the news. Yeah. You're all over the place. You're in
Try
L.A.
Sure.
And some of these movies, you'll go, I've never even heard of it. And it's like, I've seen posters on Sunset that have gone the entire side of a commercial building.
I'm not so really a news person. Thank you.
That's out there, but there's a weird little blind spot you have for these movies. Now, I have tons of movies where I go, I never saw it. But I certainly remember when it came out.
Yeah.
10 Academy Awards. Best Picture, Director, Adapted Screen. 2010?
No, I was... Laying low that year.
No. Yeah. Okay, let me get your lunar cycle thing worked out. And figure out what month.
You're shocked.
See if we can figure out when this movie dropped, and then let's see if we can work it out.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah. All right. I love this movie. I'll be angry at anyone who just said I didn't enjoy it. There was some weird, confusing part at the very end when they hopped ahead in time with the narration where I was like, wait a minute, who?
Many years later, it's like, wait, what was a flashback? What happened?
He's the same age, but she's older. Or like, there was a weird thing that happened at the end of this movie that confused me. But the critics had to like it. There's a little that you get a little slap on the hand for a remake every once in a while. They go, well, it's not as good as the, or what did we need to, or whatever. But I'm going to say critics 88.
I said 90. This was really well reviewed.
Again, looks like a good poster. No recollection of it. I went 86.
True Grit is certified fresh at 96%.
Oh, wow. Did they love it? Woo. Good.
If anything, it's a bit overrated. It's good. It's really good. But 96 is rare air.
Yeah, it's a very good movie, I thought. You just have to get past 60.
True. And you're fresh.
I mean, you're not calling it an A+. There's plenty of plenty of C-minuses that could be in there.
Honestly, anyone could say this is a bad movie.
All right, here we go.
All right, next up is a 2011 film. Matt Damon plays politician David Norris, who falls for a ballet dancer played by Emily Blunt, and mysterious men are conspiring to keep them apart. The movie is The Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah.
Everyone, I know you're going to think
guys all went to a men's warehouse. I know.
Have you ever heard of
either one of these people? You know what a bureau is.
The Adjustment Bureau?
Isn't Ben Kingsley in this movie?
Yes.
I guess I don't watch too many Matt Damon movies.
No, you don't watch TV or you don't keep your eyes open when you drive.
The Adjustment Bureau? That sounds like a fake name.
These things called billboards.
Yeah. So generic.
When a movie comes out,
this is the one I put on the list because I thought this would be the one Gina would have seen.
Okay.
I got this plan. It's called we hook you up with GoPros. We send you into advertising firms who did these accounts and watched them kill themselves. You understand that we did over $4 million in outdoor advertising around your house in Silmar alone.
Here is someone in your prime
never
demo.
Never even heard of
it. She's literally bullseye in your demographic.
We bought vans, park benches, sides of buildings, outdoor. Where do you work, Gina? I work on Wilshire Miracle Mile. We spent $27 million on that stretch of
the side of the Ork building.
We actually did the top side, the backside of your sun visors in your car. We actually did that.
It's never that sunny. I don't really put those down very often.
Oh, we have to kill ourselves.
This is a real failure on their part.
Tell me, though, that doesn't look like a fake movie.
I don't think that was the real poster.
For some reason, the poster looks a little different, but I've heard of it. All right. I saw this in the theater.
Oh, you did? Oh, wow. Real advantage on us.
Emily Blunt's quite fetching and lovely in person. Just a fun person to talk to.
Love that Emily Blunt.
And what's not to like? I think it was good. Like, it was entertaining. Like, I saw it in the theater and went, oh, this is good. But I don't think anyone was blown away by it. I'm going to say 66%. Ooh.
It looks so good. I remember the trailers look good, and then I heard just it wasn't very good, so I guess 44% without having seen it.
Well, based on the fake movie poster, I went 48.
The Adjustment Bureau is fresh at 72%.
Ooh. That's the game right there, folks.
No, I was behind Gina and you, so I picked up
a few
points.
Still much closer than you would think.
It's much, very close as we head into the championship round here.
72% for that movie?
Everyone's in this game.
Holy moly.
Yeah, people had it.
Yeah, kind of a surprise hit. That one.
It's very tight. Certainly surprised Gina 7 years later.
Shock.
All right. Last film, 2004 film, Matt Damon plays a pivotal role who utters the immortal words, Matt Damon. The movie is Team America, World Police.
Mm. I should show you a movie called Gone with the Wind, Gina. I
Say
think
what
you'd
now?
Enjoy it.
Gone with the what?
Wind. It's. I know it sounds weird, but it's an awesome
movie.
It's
a bit long, but you are going to be.
You'll love it.
Sounds fake.
All right, I don't want to show the poster. I didn't see this. I've seen bits and pieces of this thing.
I'm very surprised to hear that.
I like this stuff. I just, whatever, I was busy. And I saw bits and pieces of it. Maybe the Super Marination. I'm sure there were, critics probably liked this one. But I don't know if they love it. So we're all knotted up here. I'm not sure what to do. I'm going to go 81%.
It's a good movie. It's a funny movie. It's very vulgar. So I'm wondering if some critics just had a problem with it. And it's very divisive politically. So I imagine a good percentage of critics are on board and a good percentage or a smaller percentage is like, nope, not for me. So I said 69.
75.
Team America World Police is certified fresh at 77%.
Oh, wow. This could be very, very tight now.
It's in it till the last two.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very tight.
Bringing in the rear, Bald Brian, 62. The Ace Man coming in at 40. Which is enough to beat Gina Gravitz, 44%.
What was mine?
Not enough.
44.
44.
Oh, so close.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes, everyone knows. Go to RottenTomatoes.com. Check that out. The podcast and just anything you need. Go to RottenTomatoes.com. Rotten or fresh.
And that was a Matt Damon themed around the Rotten Tomatoes game. Hope you did well as you played along. Now we're going to keep the Rotten Tomatoes theme going. We're going to jump back a little less than 3 years to 2013, where Adam is once again with Matt Atchity, and they're talking about getting that Rotten Tomatoes award and being certified fresh for The Hammer.
It's Adam Carolla Show 1208. It's just Matt Atchity, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This portion, Mr. Skin was the guest for the episode. It's from November of 2013, and they discussed Frank Stallone's misunderstanding with the award, which ties right into this week's episode with Rotten Tomatoes, and Frank's also having a misunderstanding about the site. Check it out.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for sharing this show with a friend. We count on you. We love it when we see the father and son and the mother and the daughter teams come out and they go, hey, turn me on to the show.
Especially the mother and daughter
teams. Yeah.
Ew.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
If you fuck me, you're dead.
Matt Atchity, Rotten Tomatoes.
Hello.
Good to see you again. Again, very proud of my Certified Fresh Award, which I have in the other room.
Not everybody gets to call themselves that.
Not everybody does. And that little piece of lucite means more to me than one of my twins, but I won't say which one because that would make me a bad dad.
You should tell Matt about what happened when Frank Stallone saw the award.
Frank Stallone does I think if he took that and you just sort of put it in a little snow globe, that would be my entire life with everyone in my immediate family. Frank Stallone was poking around back there. You know, whenever Frank Stallone comes by, we'll take a trash can and light it on fire back there so we can stay warm and do some doo-wop back there. Take a bang. Do-do-do-do. And he was kind of walking around just – and he's such a hands-on guy, and he's a fun guy, and he sees the driving trophies and things like that. And then he took a look down at the Rotten Tomatoes thing and he said, well, you can't win them all, you know? And I said, no, that's good. And he goes, yeah, I got a Raspberry, one of those Razzie Awards there, 1 year. I think it was like worst theme song or something. And I said, no, that's a good thing. I like that. Yeah, he's, yeah, you got a sense of humor about it. That's good. I said, no, I don't have a sense of humor about it. I'm very
there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Proud of it. Yeah,
they only boo the greats.
No, it's good though.
No, hey, listen, at least they're chanting your name. At least they know
right.
you.
No, it's right. called Rotten Tomatoes.
The last thing you want is indifference, good or bad. That's what I want.
No, it is good. That's like a trophy.
You keep telling yourself that, buddy.
You'll get them next time. That's I like your
tomatoes,
attitude.
Raspberries, totally different.
Right, and so that's. After about four laps, I just Because at a certain point, you seem demented when you're trying to drive this in. Now, I know he walked out of there going, that must have been a real stinker he made. Otherwise, he wouldn't have won that Rotten Tomato Award. But I was unable to talk him out of it.
He thinks you're a good sport for displaying it so prominently.
So very proud of that. Thank you very much. And the looking forward to a few new projects that'll end up on Rotten Tomatoes. And let's let the chips and fall where they may.
Give Frank Stallone things to discuss with you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really what we're all about.
That clip from 2013. And that'll do it for Cruella Classics. If you want to submit a request for a clip, it's very easy. Just find us. You can find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana 1. Also, you can email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Let us know what favorite moment you've had over the years that you want to hear again or share with others, and Gio will track it down because he's magic. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you about Geico, because if you own or if you rent, then of course it's hard work, but let's make it easy by bundling those policies with Geico. That's right, Geico makes it so easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. All you got to do is go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is this?
It's Geico easy.
It is. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Cruella Classics returns tomorrow with our Sunday episode, so make sure to subscribe to the Cruella Classics feed to find that, and we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.